We have Emmanuel. We have something greater than our mom, something greater than our dad, something greater than our husband, something greater than whoever, whatever manly person that you look up to. We have someone greater than that. We have Emmanuel, God with us. And because he was born, we don't have to put so much weight on one another. Sometimes we're putting God weight on man. And being disappointed because man can't achieve the God weight that we're putting on them. There's one God and one Savior. And he said, besides me, there is no other Savior. And we can find ourselves looking, even in these times, for a Savior. Will the president save us? Will this man save us? Will that man save? He said, besides me, there is no Savior. Emmanuel. God with us. How many have looked at our husbands and felt disappointed because it just didn't add up to all the Cinderella dream that we thought? And God said, I never made them to do that. Because then you would think they were God. They are not God. They have to look to God just like you need to look to God. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us, helps us to give grace to others because we realize that we all need Emmanuel. But without him being born, I think that we would be such obnoxious, more critical and judgmental than we already are. But the more that we learn about Jesus Christ, we realize all have sinned, all have sinned, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And it takes our little snubby nose out of the air. And it humbles us and reminds us, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I sure need you, Emmanuel. I need you to be with me. And he said, I am Emmanuel, God with us. Because he was born, we have purpose. In Ephesians 2 and 10, it says this, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. All of us, no matter how we look at our lives and how there's those messed up places, those regretting places, I want you to hear what God says. He says, you are my handiwork. You are my handiwork. And you were created to do good works. You were created in Christ to do good works. Come on. Which he prepared for us to do. It was already in God's mind that he was going to give us a way. And he was going to be able to. I love this morning I was talking to Deacon Juan. And I love that scripture that God says, that which I started in you. I'm able to finish. You know how we look at one another and we see all the faults and we see all the stuff and we see where people are shortcoming and they need to come up higher and they need, God looks at us and he says, I'm able to finish that. Let him just keep on looking. I'm able to finish what I started. What I started, because man likes to fix us. I like to fix you. You like to fix me. But God said, he's the one. We are his handiwork. And even if I fixed you, it would be according to my plan. But God has a plan. And he knows who we are supposed to be. He knows when we're supposed to be it. Jesus himself came, and I love this scripture, in the fullness of time. We would like to bring things forth before the time. We get so impatient with people. Like, why aren't they there? Why aren't they there? All the time, we got a place we're not. But we're like, why aren't they there? Why aren't they there? Because God's still working on them. And in the fullness of time, he will finish. Because he was born, we can have confidence. Don't give up on, don't give up, don't give up, y'all. In the fullness of time. You know, I used to look and think, oh my God, have you ever been so disappointed in yourself? I've looked and said, God, I should have been there. I should be here. And God, you're going to come back, and I'm not even going to be there yet. I won't have done what you told me to do. I'm so far behind the curve. Because I'm seeing a destination of something that I feel God wants done outside of me. And God is saying, I have some things outside of you, but what I'm really interested in is the things that I need inside of you. I need those things done inside. There's a book that God has put on my heart, and I say, and maybe I shouldn't say it, so I'm not going to say it because I say it all the time, but it's a book that I feel like should have been wrote a long time ago. And I go to God, and I'm just like, God, I know I'm disappointing you. I know I'm disappointing you. I should have had this book done. I should have had this book done. But in this past year, God has showed me, and especially with everything that I went through, that none of that would have been in the book. But everything that I went through would explain why the book was even written in the first place. And God was like, There's some things that was on the inside of you that you needed to go. Yes, you had a title, and yes, you had chapters, but you needed to be able to fill them chapters with some experience. Yes. And I've given you some experiences now that you can totally not just write about from just, you know, knowing other people one thing, but you've went through it. Personal testimony. That makes the book solid. The Bible is solid because there's personal experiences in the Word of God that we can look to and say that they know what they're talking about, not because they said it, but because they went through it. And that's why the Word of God is so precious. We can go in there and we find our life circumstances and our things right in the book that, wait a minute, I'm not the only one that went there. They know about this. They went through this. And that's what God is doing in us. He's given us purpose. Jesus came with a mission. His mission was to save, to heal, to restore, and to reconcile. Because of his life, because of his life, him being born and walking that mission out, we too have a mission. And we too can know that we can walk our mission out because we saw how Jesus walked out his mission faithfully, obediently, doing exactly what God said to do. His birth gives our lives meaning. We're not accidents. We are part of God's plan. I said, we're not accidents. We're a part of God's plan. Aren't you glad about that? Just as God has had a specific purpose for Jesus, he has a specific purpose for our lives. Even when it's unclear, sometimes it's so unclear what to do, what am I supposed to do? We got to trust that Jesus is showing us that if we would just make the step. Sometimes we sit and go, what am I going to do? What is my purpose? God said, first just stand up and make a step. And then I'll order your steps. He said, I'll order your steps. He didn't say, I'll order your sit down. He said, I'll order your steps. We've got to get up and make a step. And a lot of times we're going like this and I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what to do. Oh, God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? It's just like for me, I don't know when the book is supposed to be. For the longest, it was like, I don't know when this book is supposed to be, you know, finished. And God said, just sit down. Go make that step to the computer. Make a step. Put a word down. Once I put a word down, then all of a sudden I used to say, oh, I got writer's block. I got writer's block. But writer's block was because I wouldn't make no step. I'm just sitting there like, God, do it. We want God to just do it. And God is saying, no, get up, make a step. Once you make the step, I'm going to order your steps. And as you listen to me, you'll make another step and another step and another step. I'm going to order your steps. Because he was born, we have strength to overcome our fears, you guys. Fear is not of God. Fear is not of God, right? He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love. In some places, we're not making steps because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid that it's not going to come to pass. We're afraid, and God is saying, no, because I was born, he said, you don't have to be fearful. Just make the steps. According to my word, just make the steps. In Philippians 4 and 13, it says what? I can do all things. Because he is born, where I'm limited, I'm not limited anymore because God takes the cap off of my limitations. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not by my own strength, you guys, but because he was born, I have another strength than just my flesh. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, it empowers us to overcome life's obstacles. His birth was the beginning of victory that he shares with us. When we feel weak, let's remember that Jesus' birth means God is with us. When we say that, that means everything about God is with me. His power, his strength, his wisdom, his love, everything about God is with me. So when I go into situations that feel like I can't do this, something should switch. There should be a switch that says, but God can. But God can. But God can. I'm tired. I can't make it. I can't. But God can. But God can. I've been loving and loving and loving and getting back nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm tired of loving. I'm tired of loving. I'm good. But God can give you more love, more power, more strength. We're never alone in our struggles. Tell that devil you're a lie because God was born for Christ. Christ was born. I'm not alone in my struggles. No matter how they look, Emmanuel, God is with me. We have to understand that God has given us something, this hope that he wants us to embrace it so that we can share it with others. As long as I'm still struggling with the hope of glory, Jesus Christ and his birth and everything that he is to me, as long as I'm struggling, are you really the God that you said you are? God, are you really the strength that you said? I can't give that to anybody else. I love the scripture that says that the whole earth groans for the sons of men. What it means that it's looking for us to get back in our rightful place. It's looking, the whole earth, nature itself is looking for us to get back to what we were made to be. God's sons and daughters, full of his power, full of his strength, full of his glory. And the whole earth is groaning, and we groan for it too. But God said, we can stop groaning. Start being. And start being. Because because of his birth, everything he said we can have, we can have. I, if you hear me pull back on words, it's because God is so making me stop. Like, what did you just say? Are you watching what you say? Because the word, Jesus Christ was the word. And it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among man. It means the Word became flesh and start walking out the Word. The Word was not in some far off place looking down on us and we're trying to figure it out. No, the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ, and it began to walk it out. It began to flesh out the Word. Everything that the Word was telling us to do, Jesus was the Word, and he began to walk it out. You can do this. You can do that. You can love your enemies. You can do good to them that are spitefully, because he was walking it out. He was not just saying it. The Word became flesh, and it just started walking out. And God is waiting for us to realize the Word, the very Word, because he was born, that Word is in us. Yeah. And because it's in us, we should be fleshing it out. Oh, what a gift. What a gift on Christmas if we would just flesh out the Word. God said that would be a gift to the world if we would just start fleshing out the world. With the Word, we would just start loving our enemies. We would start forgiving. We would flesh it out. But if we're still in this place saying, I don't know, I don't think I can do that. We're still stuck on what I can do. And God is saying, no, get off of I. And realize that the living word lives within me. And I can do whatever that Word says to, and the world is looking for that gift. Because he was born, we can face tomorrow, today, with courage. Oh, I love when Reverend Paul always ends his text and be of good courage. There's times when I've read it and not been so courage feeling, okay? But just be of good courage reminds me, because he was born. Because he was born. He knew he came to die. Do you understand that? We've got all these other reasons why we came. Okay, you know what I'm saying? We've got all these reasons, and sometimes they're like, I came to be the president. I came to all these reasons that would make us, I'm glad I came, okay? But just think if you knew, now some of us know spiritually because we came into Christ, but just think if you had some inclination that said, you're just going to die. You came to die. The reason why you came was to die. And you know what? You came? You came to die for people that's probably going to reject you, turn their back on you, stab you, say crucify. But you came to die. He knew he came to die, and yet he came. You know what? I thinking in my mind, if I had all power, all knowing, I'm God. And you know how you know, because this is a fleshly thought, y'all, so okay. But you came and you know people, and they're fickle before you even came. Before he even came, they were fickle. Before he came to earth, they were fickle. I would be like, I'm just stay right up here and sit on my heavenly throne. Now, you know, I could come another way and just act like I'm just that loving, and no, I wouldn't have. Because I would have made those people, and I love them so much. We know good and well that the only person, if we could have done that, we would have been chosen to do it. We weren't chosen to do it because we can't do it. Without Christ, we can't love like that. The only one that can love like that is God. Thank you, Jesus. Because he was born. Come on. We want Jesus' birth to fill our hearts with his courage, with his love, with his purpose. And we want to hold on to hope. We got to hold on to hope, no matter what's going on outside in the world. Because Jesus was born, we hold on to hope that this isn't it. This is not our final destination. This isn't it. This isn't the end all. That God says, I go away to prepare. I came and I go away to prepare a place for you. And I like the fact he came, he went away, but his promise is he's coming back again. And if he came the first time, he kept his promise, he's coming again. And he's going to keep that promise too. But in the meantime, because he was born, he's going to help us navigate through this earth. He's going to help us to navigate through our troubles, through our concerns. He's going to help us navigate and yet be strong and yet have courage because he was born. Aren't you glad Jesus was born? Don't get so stuck or entangled with the socks, the pajamas. You know, the turkey, the dress. Don't get so entangled with the very things that because of God, we have those things, right? Let's not get so entangled with the created things that we forget the creator of all things. And most of all, he gave the best gift of all. You guys, I want to end with this. A lot of times people use the fact that, and there's two sides of the coin. I call them the Grinches. The Grinches who don't want to give nothing, don't want to follow Allah anything. Okay? And then there's, on the other side, there's, you know, the ones that just spin out. You know, I could be a spin out. And I thank God for it. I can be a spin out. I just want to give everybody so much that my joy can be affected because I'm going down my list of 50 people. That's just my family, y'all. 50 people. And then I'm like, oh, but they're my poor husband, when he's in the store, he's like, well, who's this for? Who are you getting this for? But my joy can spin out because I'm... you know, I'm so concerned that I'm missing somebody, you know? And what the Lord showed me something this week that really blessed me was, we look at the three wise men, and they bought gifts. And so, you know, that I usually predicate my giving to Pastor David to make him understand why I want to be such a giver. I want to be a wise man, okay? They bought gifts. But this week, something really blessed me was the gifts that they bought. And as they began to explain why they bought those gifts, that they were gifts that Jesus needed. Not just something, you know, they were gifts that Jesus needs. See, because me, I could think of one gift, and then I'll see another gift. For the same person, it could be like 5-6 gifts, you know. But do they need it? You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is, it was something spiritual. Each one of those gifts was something spiritual. They represented something spiritual that Jesus needed. And I want to tell you that don't get all caught up in the hoopla. Because I don't know how many times my kids, bought them just a plethora of things that they looked at. Or what's even funnier, when they're younger, some of y'all young moms know this, you go out and buy them a whole bunch of stuff, and babies run into the cabinet and pulling out the pots and the pans. Playing with the pots and the pans, and you've already bought all these. It was nothing on their mind. It was just more you wanted them to have some, like my kids, I didn't have Barbies, so I wanted them to all have Barbies because I didn't have Barbies. But my daughter just cut off their hair and threw them to the side. And I'm, oh my God, look at the Barbie! Tore off their arm, popped off their head. Here I am thinking I'm giving the greatest gift of all because I didn't have a Barbie. Don't you know I didn't have no Barbie? I'm giving you. And they're looking at me like, I didn't ask for no Barbie. And I'm just, using myself to help you guys. What are we giving? And have we went to the heart of God to say, what do they need? What do they need? When Jesus came, he could, Lord of heaven and earth, own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He could have gave us all that stuff. He could have just threw it down to earth and said, here, houses, lands, cattle, money. He could, but that's not what he gave us. Because that's not what we needed. We needed a Savior. And that's what he gave. We needed a sacrifice. And that's what he became. And the Lord really began to deal with me is, what gift are we giving that's really a sacrifice? You know how David said, I will give nothing that didn't cost me anything. Sometimes we're caught up in the hoopla so much that it's a trinket, it's this, it's that, but no meaning. No meaning. No meaning to the person. Sometimes a meaning to the giver, because the giver is like, there's so many motives, like, oh, I hope she's going to love me after this. I hope he's going to like me after this. I hope we're going to be really close after this. Jesus just gave himself. He gave himself. And he came near. He didn't stay and just be a spectator from heaven looking down on us. But he knew what we needed. Not just a spectator in a far off place. But he came near. And I think that it will alleviate a lot of stress if we would think about how can we come near. How can we come near? You know, I could spend hours looking for a gift. And I was thinking, maybe just a cup of tea and a conversation with the person. Sometimes we get so caught up. But I'm so glad he was born, and that if I really look at his birth and the circumstances around his birth and the giving around his birth, that it could bring me great peace. If I don't look around and put myself in a position that the world is, see, the world is, this is their one-time giving. Do you see what I'm saying? This big Christmas giving. Everybody's out. When we're out, we're just hearing people. And there's so many. You don't hardly hear anybody going, oh, I'm so happy to give. Oh, I'm so glad for this season. You just hear people, I'll be so glad when December 26th comes and this day is over. I'll be so glad. And it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that, except that we've gotten entangled. And the fact is the world's going to be entangled in what the world knows to be entangled in. But the bad part is those that are supposed to show the light that disentangles them from that. We get entangled in that. And I thought to myself, I just want to go out and start telling people, you know what? Jesus was born. Jesus was born. And he's got so much greater for us than Daisy perfume. Come on. Splash on and stop smelling in an hour. The fragrance of Jesus is lasting. The gift of Jesus is lasting. So this morning, God had me come share with you, because he's already been working on this girl right here. That because he was born, we don't have to be stressed out. We can be just like my little Jericho. You know, sometimes we don't have money and we're upset because we don't have the money to do what. And you guys, I do not criticize any of you for having the heart to give. I criticize the enemy from taking the heart of giving and taking it to other motives and places. And I remember Jerica, she would, you know, she's little and she wants to give. She's just a little giver. And she wants to give so bad, but she don't have the money to give. She gonna give. On Christmas, you know, my mom there, and there's all these little presents under the tree. And I'm wondering, where'd all these little presents come? She and wrapped them little presents up like they were million-dollar presents. All of a sudden, my mom and them's opening presents, and I'm looking, and Jerica's got this big old smile on her face. She's so happy to see Grandma open the present that are my pearls out of my jewelry box. And Jerica's just smiling so big, and her smile says something to me like, "What, Mom? That's a gift." And she just fears these gifts. She didn't spend anything for them. She just got what was already in the house. And she just wanted to bless. And so, here, Grandma, here's Mama's pearls. Mama's got about 5 strands of pearls. Here's a gift. Can we be like that? Can we just give because we love to give? Can we give something that we love? Can we do that? Can I tell you, because he was born, we can. When we look back and think, he gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his only. He reminds me of Jerica. He went back into his. He didn't go get somebody else's. He went and set his only begotten son. Gave his only. That we would be saved. And that nobody would perish. That was his gift. He's not willing for any of us to perish if we would just receive the gift. This morning we have, I'm so excited. We have those that have come to be baptized this morning. So excited that you realize that there's something greater than shopping this morning. Something greater than another trinket this morning. But it says you must be born again. That's what the word of God said when Nicodemus came and said you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't get that. Like some of us, we wouldn't get it either if we didn't already know, because he showed us. But Nicodemus said, how can a man be born? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus explains it's a spiritual. What you're doing today is a spiritual birth. He says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Guys, that's our gift. Let's not forget we've been born again. Let's not get lost, because we've been born again, born of the Spirit. And in the Spirit, God gives us, he renews our mind. And the way we used to think, come on, he's changing and transforming us every day. And the things that we were slave to and that holds us and that takes our joy away, God said, because I was born, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to think that way. You don't have to be enslaved anymore to those kind of things. And so this morning, Robert, I'm so glad that you're one. How many of you are going to be baptized this morning? 2 of them? How many? Oh, 2 youth in the back? And Robert, anybody else with you? Okay, that's all right. Because you know what? Emmanuel. Amen. God with you. Amen. He wanted to bring some others with him. But you take that step, because that step says, though none go with me, I'll go, because God is with me. And so I'm so excited this morning, and we pray as we end this part of the service and the message. The message is what? Because he was born. I've got so much. Erica, I got so much because he was born. Because he was born. If he hadn't have been born, me and David would have been done. In our own knowledge, in our own wisdom, in our own estimation of what done looks like, we would have been done. But because he was born, 50 years later of marriage, hallelujah, that I'm telling you, in our estimation, I'm not telling you no lie, would have been done. But because he was born, taught us how to forgive, taught us how to look beyond our faults and see the needs of one another, taught us the truth about acceptance, that I don't have to accept you when you're like what I want you to be, but I accept the very fact that God made you and that he's the one that's going to finish the work in you, as he's going to finish the work in me. And he's the one that's given us both patience and love to walk with each other when I'm cuckoo and off kilter, and he can still say, I love you, babe. When he's David and I don't agree, I agree with the word. I've learned to agree with the word, and I've learned to flesh that word out, to love in spite of our disagreeing. Oh my God, because he was born, I'm still standing here after a stroke. Because he was born, there is healing. Because he was born, I'm still standing here. I thought the other day I should be long gone. Because he was born, I'm still standing here under the knife of surgery that was supposed to take out my messed up ovaries, that was supposed to be so messed up that they were messing me up, but end up coming out of surgery still messed up, and go back in to find out why I'm messed up, and find out they didn't take my ovaries out. But that there's a report that says there's two jars with my ovary in them, but ultrasound says there's your left ovary and your right ovary. And I'm still standing here with those messed up ovaries that they said were so messed up. I'm still standing here years later with those messed up ovaries. Because there's a God who watches over me. Because he was born, I know there's someone greater than man, greater than physicians, greater than the word that they put over you. God, I know because he was born that he has the last word. And his last word has been keeping me. Because he was born almost 6 months blind, where I could not see nothing, everything looking as black as Minister Irene's dress. But today, not only do I see her dress, but I see the sparkles on her dress. Because he was born. Because he was born. And he said he came to heal and deliver and do miracles. Because he was born, I have a doctor now that every time, I have surgery again Monday, but I have a doctor that every time he touches me, he bends over and says, now, can we go in prayer, Mrs. Jenkins? We're about to go to Jesus together, and stops everyone in the operating room. Nurses come to attention while he begins to pray over me. Because I asked God for a doctor that knew him, a doctor that believed in him. And God, because he was born, he answers our prayers. Because he was born. Oh, Robert, you're being baptized into something that's real. You're being baptized into something that's strong. You're being baptized into someone who's everlasting, who's a promise keeper. You go down. And you come up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the name given whereby there's no other name greater than the name of Jesus. Yeah. Oh, you guys can stand. Deja, I was praying for you this week. Amen. Now I put the name of Jesus on it, girl. I put the name of Jesus on all. He says, I know the plans I have for you, Deja. Plans to prosper you. And give you a good expected end. And I begin to pray and say, Lord, you said it. Now flesh it out in her life. She's going to walk that out. God wants you to be encouraged. Jesus will do what he says he will do in the fullness of time. Remember, when we're waiting on things, it's in the fullness of time. I think about flowers, how flowers, you know, we could take our hands and try to open them, but what would happen? We would just mess them up, right? But in the fullness of time, when they open, they're just so beautiful. Let it unfold in your life. Let Jesus unfold in your life. Let his birth unfold in your life. Let every part of that gift, keep on pulling the gift out. Keep on pulling out more of Jesus, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. I want to know you more. I want to know of your greatness more. I want to know you more intimately. I want to know what you can do. I want to know of your miracles, God. More, 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 more. I'm telling you, he's never going to get tired of you reaching in there. He's not going to say, you greedy kid, you. No, he's going to say, you can have more. This is one place that you don't have to feel like I'm being greedy. Just reach in there. But remember this. Don't be like kids. Don't reach in there and go, I don't want this, and throw it to the side. But reach in there, and as you pull it out, totally investigate what that gift is for. When you pull out love, what is his love? It's not like man's love. What does that mean? Lord, I'm going to show me your ways. Show me how to love. Don't throw it to the side saying I've been hurt, saying that I've been used. People, I don't want to love anymore. God's love is not like man's love. Pull that gift out and totally let it just come into your life. Envelop your soul with his love. And you'll see it's a totally gift, different gift. It's an expensive gift. It's a gift that took him all the way to the cross, shedding his precious blood. Thank you, God, for your gift. Right now, if there's anyone that doesn't know, I want to say, first of all, that doesn't know the Lord as your Savior. We all need a Savior. Why do we need a Savior? Because we need to be saved from our sins. To spend a life with him in eternity, we need to be saved from our sins. When we get to heaven, we want to know that we've been covered with the blood of Jesus and that we've accepted him as our Savior. Is there a time, I'm asking everyone, is there a time that you remember that you came and gave your life to the Lord? You know, some of us want to do it in secret. But I love this poster that said that Jesus didn't die in secret. What he did for the whole world, he did it out in the open. Crucifixion was supposed to be the worst kind of death, a demeaning kind of death. But he got up in that demeaning kind of death, and he did it for us in front of the whole world. King of kings, Lord of heaven and earth, did it for us in the open. And the enemy loves for us to say, I'll follow Jesus in the dark. He loves for us not to make a public proclamation. Because then he can come back and he can say we didn't really mean it. But if I'm going to live for Jesus, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. Amen. And if he's touching your heart right now, and you know in your heart that you have not given your heart to God or your life to God, all you have to do is boldly walk. And we will pray with you the prayer of salvation that says, I accept Jesus Christ in my life. Thank you for forgiving me for all of my sins. I don't accept you just as Savior, but I accept you as Lord. That means that you're going to lord over my life. I'm going to ask you, God, shall I do this? Shall I do that? I'm going to seek your direction. Some of us want a Savior, but we don't want a Lord. But God wants to be Savior and Lord. If you don't know of a time where you've done that, this is the time, you guys. You don't have to be old. Because a lot of times we think that's old people getting ready to die and they're getting themselves in order. No, we need to get ourselves in order no matter what the age. Because we are seeing in this day and time that young and old, come on, they go out of this earth. And as they go out this earth, you want to have an assurance that I have made peace with my Lord. Another invitation is if you don't have a church home, we'd like to invite you, because the Bible says that those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. What does that mean? It means that when you're connected, you flourish. Just think, if this hand was disconnected and over there, and this hand was like, I could do it all by myself. I can make it all by myself. Well, disconnected from the body, it might make it for a little while. But all of a sudden, you would see that hand turning blue, right? All of a sudden, you would see the life going out of that hand because it's not connected. That's why God said about those that are planted, connected, flourishing, growing together. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to be a part of Living Faith Christian City, the body of Christ, that we come together to grow together, to learn together. We're not a perfect body. But we serve a God that is perfecting all of us because he's a perfect God. Last one is if the enemy may be whipping you up and saying, you're a backslider. You just slid in today. Thank you, Jesus, for sliding in. God, it's all heaven is rejoicing that you slid in. And God is saying, come on in. Come back into the ark of safety. God loves you. He tells the story of the prodigal son to let you know that no matter how far you've gone, that he's standing there and he's waiting. Everybody else might have gave up on you and think you're out for good. But God said, oh no, I'm waiting for my daughter. I'm waiting for my son. I'm waiting for them to come home. And when you come home, God is ready to run to you. And all heaven rejoices. It says he's married to a backslider. He's married. Can y'all, what? Who can't love a God like that? He's married to a backslider. This morning I've given three invitations. And we have those invitations because of his birth. Because he came, he died, and he rose again. He completed the mission so that we would be free. So I just pause and wait a minute. Remember, at the end, we're always here. From the front door to the back door to Walmart to Safeway. If you see us and you want to be born again, or you want to be saved and you want to give, we're see any of us, see our faces, look at our faces. Remember this face, y'all, okay? You might see me in a thrift store. You might catch me there. Any of those places, and you say, hey, I want to be born again. Right there, right there, I will be available to pray that prayer with you. Because it is just that important. We know how sometimes in the house of the Lord, we're like, maybe tomorrow, maybe next Sunday. I'm kind of nervous. Do I really have to walk up there in front of all them people? We know all the voices. Them are the same voices that talk to us. But I tell you right now, it doesn't matter. Just make up your mind. And whenever you make up your mind, God is going to have someone ready to walk you through and pray you through. We're so glad for each and every one of you that's under the sound of my voice. I am so glad that you are here this morning. You're not here by accident. You're here because this man right here in the gray vest. Can you come? Can you come for me? Right here. Yes. The dad. Are you the dad? Am I saying dad just because he scooted away? You're the what?
I'm the dad.
Oh, you're the dad. Thank God. You're who?
Erica.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, God. Because what I was wanting to tell you, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless what comes out of your mouth. The very fact that you are here standing with your family in the house of God. God wants to bless your mouth. In your mouth is life for your family. Is life. And that life is in the Word of God. As you open up your scriptures, there's going to be some things. And he really wants you to open up your scriptures. Going to it with, what do you want to say to me, God? What do you want to say to my family? How can you heal some places in my family? And God's going to have a word for you. And when you open up your mouth, as he reveals that to you, it's going to be healing to your family, oh man of God. And so, Lord, right now we pray for this father. We thank you for this father that would come into the house of the Lord. We thank you that for this father who would attune his ears. We thank you for this father who would come up in such humility, oh God, to hear what you would have over his life. Father, I pray that every word that is spoken, that it would come to pass. God, that as he opens up his word, Lord, your word would be revealed like a light bulb going off in his spirit and in his soul. And when he opens up his mouth, Father, it would be received as life and power to those dry places, to those places that needs healing. This man of God, Lord, out of his mouth will come that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So glad you're here. So glad you're here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, I'm just going to call Pastor David up. So we can go in. And guys, let's kind of just stay steady as we're getting ready to get Robert ready and the other young people ready for baptism. You guys, let's can we hang with that? I know we might want to leave, but can we just hang with that? It's a wonderful thing to see people get baptized in the body of Christ. That they're becoming family. And you know, what kind of family leads your baptism, huh? We don't want to be that kind of family. We want to be the family that's standing here, the family that's saying, yes, yes, yes. Family that says, we're with you. And that we come into prayer that as you come up out that water in the newness of life, that God is going to do great things in their lives. So we thank God for each person, and I pray right now over every person that's about to get baptized. Oh, Father, as they go down in the water, Father. Oh, Father, we've seen people go down in the water and come up, God, speaking in tongues filled with the Holy Ghost. We've seen people go down in the water, God, and come up, God, healed and delivered, God. We've seen you touch people as they go down in the water, God. But most of all, we know that as they go down, God, they come up in newness of life, God. are in you, oh God. And so we thank you right now, God, for what you're about to do. And we have great expectations.
The words thy hands have made. I see the sun.
Thank you.
I hear the world.
Y'all see that? I always get an analogy, okay? Usually there's things.